nartasya chagadam udanvati majato no. Taptasya tat prati vidhirya ihanya sheshtas. Tavad vibhotanu britang twat upekshitanam. Balasya neya saranang bitaro nasimha. Nartasya chagadam udanvati majato no. Taptasya tat prati vidhirya ihanja sheshtas. Tavad vibhotanu britang twad upekshitanam. Balasya neha saranang pitaro nasimha. Nartasya chagadam udanvati majato no. Taptasya tat prati vidhirya ihanja sheshtas. Tavad vibhotanu britang twad upekshitanam.
Matatis?
Sneya saranam bhadranasimha. Balasya,
of a little child.
Na,
not.
Iha,
in this world.
Saranam,
shelter,
protection.
Pitaro,
the father and mother.
Nishingha,
O my Lord Nishingadev.
Na,
neither.
Artasya,
of a person suffering from some disease.
Cha,
also.
Agadam,
medicine.
Udanvati,
in the water of the ocean.
Majata,
of a person who is drowning.
No,
the boat.
Taptasya,
of a person suffering from a condition of material misery.
Tat prativedhahi,
the counteraction
invented
for stopping the suffering of material existence.
Ya,
that which.
Iha,
in this material world.
Anjasa,
very easily.
Ishta,
accepted
as a remedy.
Tavat,
similarly.
Vipo,
O my Lord,
O Supreme.
Tanubritam,
of the living entities
who have accepted material bodies.
Twat upekshitanam,
who are neglected by you
and not accepted by you.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki.
My Lord Nrisimhadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for by you cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient, and a boat on the water cannot protect a drowning man. Responsibly, please.
My Lord Nrisimhadev,
O Supreme,
because of a bodily conception of life,
embodied souls,
neglected and not cared for by you,
cannot do anything
for their betterment.
What remedies they accept,
although perhaps temporarily beneficial,
are certainly impermanent.
For example, a father and mother
cannot protect their child.
A physician and medicine
cannot relieve a suffering patient.
And a boat on the ocean
cannot protect a drowning man.
Purport.
Through parental care, through remedies for different kinds of disease,
and through means of protection on the water, in the air, and on the land, there is always an endeavor for relief from various kinds of suffering in the material world. But none of them are guaranteed measures for protection. They may be beneficial temporarily, but they afford no permanent benefit. Despite the presence of a father and mother, a child cannot be protected from accidental death, disease, and various other miseries. No one can help, including the parents. Ultimately, the shelter is the Lord. And one who takes shelter of the Lord is protected. This is guaranteed, as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 31. Kunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Therefore, unless one is protected by the mercy of the Lord, no remedial measure can act effectively. One should consequently depend fully on the causeless mercy of the Lord. Although as a matter of routine duty, one must, of course, accept other remedial measures. No one can protect one who is neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this material world, everyone is trying to counteract the onslaught of material nature, but everyone is ultimately fully controlled by material nature. Therefore, even though so-called philosophers and scientists try to surmount the onslaught of material nature, they have not been able to do so. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 13:9 that the real sufferings of the material world are four: janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. Birth, death, old age, and disease. In the history of the world, no one has been successful in conquering these miseries imposed by material nature. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasya. Nature, prakriti, is so strong that no one can overcome her stringent laws. So-called scientists, philosophers, religionists, and politicians should therefore conclude that they cannot offer facilities to the people in general. They should make vigorous propaganda to awaken the populace and raise them to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Our humble attempt to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world is the only remedy that can bring about a peaceful and happy life. We can never be happy without the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Twad upekshitanam. If we keep displeasing our Supreme Father, we shall never be happy within this material world in either the upper or lower planetary systems. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvasesha Sunyavadi Pastacha Desatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukham Karoti Vachalam, Pangam Langayate Girim, Yat Kripatamaham Vande, Sigurum Dinataranam. So I am sitting here on this very high seat. It's not that high, but it's a little bit higher than what you're sitting on. And I'm struggling to be in a humble state of mind. And without a humble state of mind, one cannot properly deliver the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam to others. So, first of all, I'm begging all of you to please gather within your heart the desire to hear. Because if so many sincere devotees desire to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, the appointed speaker will be empowered to speak. Because so many sincere devotees are wanting to hear about Krishna. So Krishna will definitely reciprocate. Then, I'm asking you to all pray for me that if I just so happen to be able to give something of benefit to everyone in relationship to the message of Krishna, please pray that I can understand and realize that this empowerment is coming from Krishna, and that I can bow my head down and thank him for this opportunity to purify myself and to simultaneously purify others. In the back page, actually the back cover of a book that was published by the BBT many, many, many years ago, called Preaching is the Essence. It was a compilation of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. There's a quote from Srila Prabhupada in a purport that says, this Krishna consciousness movement is, anyway, I'm ad-libbing on it, my memory isn't exactly perfect, that it is perfect because the message of Godhead simultaneously purifies oneself and purifies others. So we should be thinking about our own welfare and at the same time being thinking about the welfare of others. So there is the saying, charity begins at home. So Srila Prabhupada gave us a program that if we follow, we will be thinking about ourselves. What is that practice whereby we're thinking about ourselves? Japa. This is for our personal purification. Then kirtan. Now this simultaneously is purifying for ourselves and purifying for others. Book distribution. It is purifying for ourselves and purifying for others. Giving a Srimad Bhagavatam class is definitely purifying for ourselves and purifying for others. So, in the purport, or no, actually in the translation, it starts out that when a living entity is in the bodily conception of life, he loses the mercy of the Supreme Lord. He becomes neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, if we care about ourselves, we should really think about this and endeavor by our actions and our words and through our studies and through our prayers to become free from this bodily conception of life. That is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness as taught to us by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, that we are not this body. So then, When we come to this realization, then the doors open. Tamo dwaram yosita sangha sangam. Okay, that's the second line. The door closes when you open the door for sense enjoyment, basically speaking. And the mahat sevam dwaram ahur vimukte. The door opens when you place yourself in a humble situation and render service to advanced, spiritually advanced personalities. This opens a door of opportunity to self-purification, and then you can become a vehicle of empowerment to encourage others to do this also. This is the situation of the Krishna consciousness movement. We are thinking about ourselves and thinking about others also simultaneously. So when we're thinking about ourselves and we're in our own little worlds and our own little bubbles, if you really care about yourself, you reach up to advanced personalities, plural. So as you reach out to your guru, your spiritual master, you reach out to the previous acharyas and great souls that previously walked upon this earth or on other planets or in the spiritual world, and you reach up to those of us who are walking around on this same plane as we are, who you consider to be worthy. Of course, an advanced devotee, he sees everybody more worthy than himself. But this cannot be copied. So if one on a neophyte platform like myself reaches out to those he thinks to be more advanced than him, and makes friends with those that he considers to be his equal, and then gives instruction to those who he thinks that are less advanced than him spiritually. Now that's what means a very difficult situation here at the moment, because here I am giving so-called instructions to everyone else. So am I thinking myself better than all of you? I hope not, because then I'm going to lose my potency to deliver Krishna's message. Srila Prabhupada gave us this program of chanting the holy name, reading the Bhagavatam, giving the Bhagavatam to others. And in this way, I am following Srila Prabhupada's instructions. I am reaching up to him to please empower me to give this message to others. So here, Prahlad Maharaj, a five-year-old boy, he is empowered. Why was he empowered? Because he's so sincere. Despite all odds, here he was, a five-year-old boy. His father is like the king of the universe. You know, what kind of potency his father had. And he's 5 years old. He completely took shelter of his guru, Narada Muni, and neglected and very politely neglected and disregarded his father's instructions repeatedly. And this created such a disturbance in the mind of his father. So much so that in due course of time, his very father made a decision. He decided that he wanted to kill his own son. So then, Hiranyakashipu, you know, within his mind, thought about, what should I do to kill my son? So he had various plans, various ways, you know, putting him in under elephants when they're running, you know, throwing him off a cliff, putting him in boiling water, feeding him poison, putting him in some frozen cold place without any proper clothing on, etc., etc., etc. And each time this happened, Prahlad Maharaj simply folded his hands, accepted the punishment, and prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And lo and behold, he was miraculously saved from all these repeated attempts by his so-called all-powerful father. So this was very disturbing to Hiranyakashipu. And he even questioned his son, where do you get this potency to not die? This is what Hiranyakashipu wanted after all. And he had to work for it. He underwent austerities for thousands of years and, you know, sincere determination to become immortal. And then when he asked for this boon, it wasn't granted because the person he was asking this boon from, Lord Brahma, said, well, sorry, but you know, although you deserve to get whatever you want because you have really tried hard and followed the Vedic process to get a boon, because I am not immortal, I cannot grant immortality to you. So then Hiranyakashipu made a plan. And if you want to make Krishna laugh, tell him your plans. He will surely have a good time, you know, listening to your plans, because so many plans we have in this material world, and how many times have we had plans that they really worked out like we wanted them to? In my life, zero. But at the same time, in the purport, just like it's describing here that a physician or a parent can't help their children, they get sick and die, or a boat on the water can't save a drowning man. It may be temporarily they help, but ultimately there's no cure for birth, death, and old age and disease in this material world. They are guaranteed. Mamu peti punar janma dukalayama shasvatam napnuvanti mahatmanha sang siddhim paramam gataha. After attaining me, the devotees or yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, completely full of miseries. There's never an instance of anyone anywhere, in any place in this material world that is happy. They think they're happy, but they're actually not. The human form of life is designed. There's like a design for the human form. And it gives the living entity the opportunity to inquire into the absolute truth. And if they choose to do so, they will become happy. But if you don't do that, you will be miserable, even though you may appear to be happy, and you are trying to talk yourself into thinking that you are happy, but actually you are not. Because you are an animal. You are simply being forced by the material energy to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. And as a spirit soul, the living entity is eternal, and in his constitutional position, he can only experience happiness in eternality. But here the living entity is in a material body, being forced to take birth, get old, get diseased, and die. Now, this situation is very fearful because the living entity is surrounded by witnessing death. So if he's at all intelligent, he realizes, hey, it's going to happen to me too. So of all the difficulties in the material world, the difficulty of finding something to eat, the difficulty of, you know, finding a nice place, nice soft bed to sleep on, the difficulty of finding that ideal member of the opposite sex that you can enjoy with, and the difficulty of defending yourself from all the miseries in the material world. So it's eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But sometimes this word defending is replaced with the word fearing. So it's, you can say eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, or you can say eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing. So of all these miseries, the fearing is the most, gives the conditioned soul the biggest problem. This material world is a very, 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 three times, fearful place. Because we are threatened constantly with non-existence. In your minds, it is non-existent if you're in the bodily conception of life. Whereas a devotee, no fear. Because he knows he's not going to die. So this difficulty is erased because he's otherworldly. Not otherworldly in the kind of like, you know, in America you say someone's otherworldly because they're a little weird. You know, they're not like an ordinary person. Okay, so they're not of this world. This is our sarcastic definition of otherworldly. But otherworldly in the sense that you are a spiritually advanced personality, and although in this world, you're not of this world. There's the sloka in the Bhagavad Gita. Pramandya daya karmani sangam chakva kurotiya lipite nasa pape na padma patrami bambasa. That as a lotus leaf is in the water. The living entity is in the material world, but if he is advanced, he's like the lotus leaf. There's a waxy substance on it, and he's not really affected by the water. The lotus leaf in the water doesn't degenerate because of the water, because it has a protection. So the sincere devotees of the Lord, they, as the purport Srila Prabhupada emphasizes, guaranteed protection. So this is like, you know, 100% guarantee. Like, you know, sometimes there's stores in America, 100% guaranteed, bogus. There's nothing in the material world that is 100% guaranteed. It is sure to disintegrate and fall apart. These bodies, they are 100% guaranteed to die. You can say 100% guaranteed in that regard. But sometimes there's medicines, 100% guaranteed. You take this medicine and you will get free from this disease, 100% guaranteed. Bogus. This material world is designed by a very expert personality to teach us a very, very, very good lesson that we cannot enjoy and prosper without him. And this eventually, because he's very merciful, he gives us, you know, some situation that we can ultimately learn from. So the living entities that are intelligent, they learn from this situation in this material world and then do something about it. What do? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. They inquire in the very beginning. This is the very beginning. What is going on here? Why am I suffering? Why do I have to die? You know, they look out into the cosmos and they think, where's the end of it? But then they understand there can't be an end. Because if there's a brick wall up there, there's something behind the brick wall. It's just like, it's inconceivable. You look out into the sky, you know, and try to understand, try to comprehend the limits of this cosmos. Impossible with the material mind. Why? Pumirapo nalovayu kamanuburevacha ahankaratiyame bina prakritirastada. That this earth, this water, this fire, this air, this ether, this mind, this intelligence, and this false ego is Krishna's separated material energy. And with the material energy, you cannot comprehend or understand the spiritual energy of which eternality is the very beginning of understanding in spiritual life. This is Brahman realization. And to think that you can understand higher concepts before you come to this realization is a total illusion. So therefore, how can someone like I, who has not realized eternality, give spiritual instructions to all of you? Because the way to do it is you repeat what you hear from those that do have this realization, and especially realizations higher than that. Brahmeti, Padamatmeti, Bhagavan Iti Sabyate. So, especially repeat those who have the highest realization. And then the Supreme Lord, he will be pleased with you. The great souls will be pleased with you. The general devotees will be pleased for you. Then 100% guaranteed happiness. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Yes, everyone benefits from hearing the questions also. This was the same question that was asked by Yamaraj, who was in disguise at the time, to Maharaj Yudhisthira. And he asked the question, what is the most wonderful thing? And Maharaj Yudhisthira thought about it. And being a very intelligent person, as he was and is, okay, you can say he was because he is no longer on this plane, but he still is because he's eternal. So was and is both. He said, this same thing is so wonderful. The most amazing thing is that everybody sees that all around them that people are dying. You know, all our we don't have relatives that are, you know, 200 years old, or maybe even 100 years old. And here we are 90 years old, or I'm 61 years old, and we think we are not going to die. We're special. So why is it that we think like that? The illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so powerful that although we all see this happening to us, we still think that it will not happen to me. So what's required to overcome this deep, dark illusion? Daivihesha gunamai mama maya dratyaya mameva ye prapadyante mayami tam tarantite. If you surrender to Krishna wholeheartedly with your body, your minds, and your words, everything that you can muster up to surrender, you will cross over this illusion and you will no longer think like that. Okay? Any other questions or comments? Pass the mic, please. To there.
Remember you put in the verse of Master in the beginning of your class? Mm-hmm.
Correct.
The translation of the verse makes it that Mahatmas, there are two kinds, the personalist and impersonalist. And my question is, how can by serving the impersonalist we can get advancement and the doctrine of liberation
open? Brahman, let's see, that there's three phases of realization in the Absolute Truth. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. You will get Brahman by rendering service to those who realize Brahman. But if they don't realize Brahman, by rendering service to them, you will not be able to come to the level of Paramatma or Bhagavan. You get the realizations of those, you serve those living entities, and you get benedicted with their realizations, whatever realizations they have. So therefore, we must search out a completely self-realized soul, not a partially self-realized soul, and render service unto him or them. Okay? And as you render service to them, your capacity to serve broadens, and you can render service to more and more and more personalities unlimitedly, as purification takes place within your heart. Okay? Any other questions? Any other comments? We have 10 more minutes. Anyone want to make... Yes, very good. Let's churn the ocean of the Srimad Bhagavatam and see what comes out. Yes. Hare Krishna.
My question for service is, you're saying the advanced devotees, the self-realized souls, mm-hmm. which of course is wonderful. But what about serving each other, devotees helping each other, who may not be on that platform? Do we neglect them or do we
the benefit of rendering service to those on an equal level, and even rendering service to those on a lesser level, is you will develop humility. And by developing humility, you will be able to chant the holy name of the Lord and get progress and get a taste. And so therefore, the rendering of service is also recommended actually to everybody, to all humanity, to all living entities, but especially to the advanced souls. Okay? Any other questions? Microphone? Okay, you're going to do it. Okay. Hare Krishna.
My question is, as we come to Krishna consciousness initially, and later on we find that it's not so as enthusiastic as we were in the beginning stage of Krishna consciousness. How can we sustain that? What do you call enthusiasm?
Sustainability in Krishna consciousness. All right, someone could do a seminar on this. Very good seminar. Because in the beginning stages of practicing spiritual life, you get what's called like a shadow attachment. I remember I was just coming out of the jungles of Hawaii like more than 40 years ago. And I went to the farm on the big island of Hawaii, the ISKCON farm. And I, first of all, learned how to chant japa and get up early in the morning, and I shaved got my long hair shaved off and learned how to keep clean. And I got this new type of underwear to wear. And I had new friends, and I got new types of food to eat. And so many things were new. And when you're new in spiritual life, Krishna gives you a little bit of impetus to continue by giving you a taste. So I remember chanting japa, and wow, I was in ecstasy chanting japa. It was like my hairs were standing on end. You know, tears were flowing from my eyes. My body was shivering. But it didn't last. So now I have remembrance of that. And I say, okay. And then I hear from, you know, see through the eyes of the chakshush, that we see through the eyes of the shastra, and from the words of the great souls, that yes, this is shadow attachment. Krishna's being merciful on you and giving you a little bit of a taste of what can happen if you continue. That is, he gives us this impetus to continue on. And then what happens is water seeks its level. And Neha Brikamo no seosti pratavayo navidyate swapam abhisadharmisa triate mahatubayat. That, you know, nothing goes in vain, and whatever you had in your previous life, you take up where you left off. So when you got this shadow attachment, you are in a little bit of illusion, thinking that you're on a higher level than you are. But eventually, where you really are at comes to light to you and to everybody else. You cannot hide what level you are on in spiritual life. It's an open secret. And in other words, it's not a secret of all. At all. Everyone can perceive, you know, really where you are at and basically how much attraction you have for the opposite sex, how much attraction you have to this eating, how much attraction you have for this sleeping, you know, how much attraction you have for this overlordship. You want to be in control? You want to be a GBC? You want to be a sannyasi? You want to be a guru? Now, if you want to be these things, that is a recipe for disaster. For pride cometh before the fall, and you will eventually fall flat on your face with this type of motivation. But those living entities that are sannyasis and are gurus and, you know, great souls, they were pushed into their situations from below because of their qualifications that are evident. Not that they got there because they aspired and they made plans how to get up there, because I want to make progress in spiritual life, so I want to be a guru. That is actually a trick of Maya. You should never want any of these things. First deserve, then you will receive. And you will not aspire to receive these things, but you will be pushed into receiving these things. And then you will go about doing these services in a humble mood to serve others. Okay? Any other questions? Okay, Mataji. Pass the baton. This is like the mango coming from the top of the tree, you know, down, without being dropped and not getting damaged. Yes. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for all this inspiring us. I just want to ask you, sometimes you can be in a position of rendering service to someone, but what can make it difficult is this person could judge the way you serve. Does that, if the service of the servant will stop serving, is that because you are on the level of public perception, or you should just get rid of the judgment and keep on serving this person, so that you can, because you cannot do anything, that this person is on your way and you have to, you understand that you have to give something. So what should you do with the judgment? You should put it aside and keep on trying, or just continue.
Merci. Now, she's from France, or she has a French accent. I have an American. I heard about, or understood, comprehended, also because I'm getting old and my hearing is maybe about 80% of what she said. I'm sorry. Can someone give me like a gist of what she said? Because I want to be able to respond with full understanding. Guy.
What happens when there are obstacles in our devotional service?
Oh, obstacles in devotional service. And she agreed that this is what she said. Okay. This is, in a nutshell, this is what her question is. You approach these obstacles like an Olympic hurdler with full determination and full energy and full humility, and endeavor to overcome these obstacles with full strength in a humble state of mind. It seems like a contradiction, but it's not. Because generally, we see these sports stars, they're the most obnoxious people on the planet because they think that they are the strongest, they can jump the highest, they can run the fastest. They can, you know, all the different varieties of sports there are in the Olympics. It's a challenge for these people because they have these abilities, and they should understand where these abilities come from, and then they can go about their business in a humble state of mind. So if you go about with full determination and full strength and full endeavor, in complete prayer and surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, 100% guaranteed you will be able to cross over the hurdle. All right? Any other questions? 9 o'clock. Okay, if anyone wants to go, they're welcome to go. I'll take one more question. Yes, Prabhu. Microphone. Here we go. Here comes the mango. Good question. All right. He's trying to stump me, isn't he? I will rise to the challenge with full humility and repeat what I've heard from the great souls. That Krishna says, Samoham sarvabhuteshu namai dveshastina priya, that he's equal to all. But whoever renders service to him devotion, I am a friend in him and he is also a friend to me. So because the conditioned soul, they don't want the mercy of Krishna. So Krishna, he grants them their desire. And he doesn't give them their mercy, his mercy. Okay, so he is being merciful to them by allowing them to have their free will and ask what they... And then he grants it. Whereas the devotees, they render service to Krishna and they ask for his mercy and he gives it to them. So it is when a conditioned soul is going about in his business in the material world, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, Krishna is being merciful to him because in another point of view, in another perspective, he is... the very nature of the material energy, it teaches the living entity a very, very, very good lesson. And eventually they will come to him and they will receive his mercy in due course of time. Okay? In this whole class, did anyone pick up anything that I said that was wrong, incorrect? I'm open for criticism. I'm open for correction. And so on and so forth. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.